Again, welcome you to the meeting. And in a few minutes, I want to be very simple in my remarks. We go to Exodus chapter 12. What kind of got me thinking about it is Dale Swan and Daryl were speaking, and it was on one of them that mentions the last gospel meeting here of 2024. Well, this is the first gospel meeting in this hall of 2025, and I got thinking about New Year's and this message. And I remember her brother Doug Morrison used to speak on this passage a lot. And very, very simple. I'm going to give a little bit of a, just bring us up to where we're at in this passage. Marcus has talked to us already about how sin came into the world. Daryl was at the villa tonight. He talked a little bit about the life of Joseph. So what happened was the children of Israel, they had moved into Egypt, into the land of Egypt, because of a famine. You can read this in the last part of Genesis. And they lived there for, Joseph and his brothers and their families for about 400 years. And, well, kings come, kings go. And, you know, Joseph was a very smart man. He was a godly man. And because of his faith in God and his knowledge of God, and he was able to protect a famine that was going to come. And really, he had preserved the life of Egyptians, but he also preserved the life of many people in the world. Well, 400 years came and went, and a new Pharaoh came to power, and he looked at these people that were dwelling in their land, and he got nervous. He said, well, if something happens, if this war starts, and these people that are living here in the land of Goshen, which was part of Egypt, and they side with their enemies, we're going to be in trouble. So Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he started to subject these Israelites, these children of Israel, into bondage. They were whipped. They were forced to work very hard. And I don't know. I've never been whipped. I don't know if anybody else is here. We know that in the past 200 or 300 years, there's been people that have been treated very badly. They knew what it was to feel whipping, but I think we've all felt pain. We've felt hurt, but these people, they were being abused. They were being forced to work, and they were being not treated very nicely. And, well, these people, they cried out to their God, and God promised to deliver them. So this really is breaking into that story, and God is just about to deliver these people from the Egyptians. Before I read, I just want to, you've already been reminded, we are all in bondage. You know, we live in a world tonight where people, they dabble in things and they think, well, this is just a little bit of fun. I can control it. Maybe a lot of you here tonight don't remember a man by the name of Peter Orszag. And he started, and he thought, I can just play with this little thing a little bit. And maybe that's, you that are younger in particular, maybe you think, I can just play with this thing. You can't play with sin. We can read in the Bible that sin begins, it begins small, but what does James tell us? Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So here, you know, as you are here tonight and you are not saved, you are in bondage of your sin. And your sin is something that will encase you and will continue to wrap its threads around you. And before too long, you will realize that I cannot control this thing. And maybe you'll never become a drug addict. Maybe you'll never become an alcoholic. Maybe you'll never become a murderer. I hope not. But the fact is that we all, every single one of us, have committed sin. Not one of us has ever been absolutely perfect. And if every one of us was to right now become up before, as already been mentioned, the judgment of the great white throne, every one of us would fail. So here is, we're going to break into this passage. I'm just going to read a couple scattered verses. I'm going to go to a New Testament verse. Let's begin at Exodus 12 and 1. And again, this is kind of what got me thinking about this, being the new year. Here is, as the Lord is speaking unto Moses, Exodus 12, so Genesis, Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for, as an house, if the household be, too little for a lamb, let him and the neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of the souls, and every man according to his eating. There's some instructions given about the lamb, and they were to watch it. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood. They were told to kill the lamb. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts. We're all familiar with the door. You got the two side posts. So he's to take the sprinkle of blood on the two side posts and really the frame over top of the door. You know, I'm going to stop for a second, and you know, I don't want to be gruesome and gory, but really what God is really trying to impress upon these people, and is trying to impress upon your heart, is that sin has consequences. As Marcus mentioned to you, when sin came into the world, and God graciously provided them with coats of skin. And as Adam and Eve, as they stood there and they witnessed something they never witnessed before, as that innocent animal that was taken and was killed and his blood was shed, and it was coats of skin were provided. You know, we're familiar today. You know, I think we all enjoy a nice feed of whether it's steak or turkey or all these different things. And really, as if you read this passage, you can see that as these lambs were taken, as they were killed, they were actually given instructions to feast upon this lamb. But really, what God is trying to impress upon them is that sin has consequences. The only thing that will ever take away sin is the death of an innocent victim. So there, as they're given instructions concerning this lamb, to take of the blood, to put it on the two side posts in the upper door lintel. And let's go down to verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. Very simple words. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 in a second, but he says the blood is given to you for a token. You know, I think we've all been to maybe a sand spit or different places, and oftentimes as you win there, you go and you purchase tokens, really. You purchase a certain amount of tickets, so when you go up, you give them the token, you're able to get on the ride. That's really the idea here, is when God was had told them that tonight, at this night at midnight, the destroying angel of God is going to go through the land of Egypt. He's going to view every single house. And if he comes to a house and there was blood on the door, the angel passed by. So the token was, and he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. If the angel of God, the destroying angel, was to come and there was no blood on the door, he said in the passage that the firstborn in every house where there's no blood is going to die. So really it's very simple. Death of the lamb or death of the firstborn. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hopefully we'll be able to make this make sense and be very brief, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Paul, he's speaking to his friends that were part of a church very much like this in the city of Corinth, and he's writing to them, and he's really explaining to them some very important truths. But as he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So just as these children of Israel, as they were presented and the Lord gave them instructions concerning this lamb that they were to take, and as they took it and as they washed it for a period of time, and it says in the 14th day you're to take it, to kill it, to take its blood and put it on top of the door on the two side posts. And God has made a promise that on this particular night the angel of the Lord is going to go through the land. It didn't matter if it was Egyptians' houses or the Israelites' houses. If there was no blood, the firstborn in the house would die, God promised. Can I tell you tonight, we're not so much thinking of a particular date. We don't know the date when the Lord is going to come again. We don't know when we're going to pass this thing that is depicted on the turf, death. where your soul will either go to heaven above or hell below. But what will make the difference is the blood of Christ. And there, as these people were told, to take the blood to sprinkle on the doorposts and the two side posts. And said, if, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So tonight I want to ask you tonight, what does the blood of Christ mean to you? I'm not so much thinking about physical blood. We can read in the gospel accounts, and in particular in John, where the soldier took the spear and he says that the blood flowed out. I'm not so much thinking about the physical blood, but really the idea, I appreciate it with Brody, was here a few months ago, and he said, really, when we think about the shedding of blood, we're really thinking about a death. And as Marcus already very clearly showed us from the Bible, that God had said that the day you eat of that fruit, you will die. You know, we live in a world where, and as Marcus already said, not one of us Christians alike, we do not like having consequences for our sin. We all make decisions, we all make choices, and sometimes the decisions we make don't maybe often have very big consequences, but there's some things in life that will have major consequences. And one in particular will have eternal consequences. What you do with the Lord Jesus Christ will determine whether you're in heaven or in hell. You know, we're already talking about the judgment seat, the judgment of the great white throne. You will not appear before that judgment throne to determine whether you'll be in heaven or hell. That will already be decided. The Lord Jesus himself said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, really that judgment will be, it's really, he's going to pass your sentence onto you because of your sin. Marcus has already mentioned that every deed, everything that we have done, has all been recorded. And we will be absolutely held accountable for every one of our sins. But I'm thankful tonight that that list of my sins has been blotted out eternally. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And I can look back, it was just 30 years ago, back in August. Boy of 10 years old, I understood that my sin was taking me away from God, that my sin was taking me to hell, and that's exactly where I deserve to be. But I'm so thankful for that verse in Romans 5 and 6, for when we are yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And I understood for the first time that I don't have to worry about going to hell, because even though, yes, I had sinned, there was no question in my mind that even as a boy of 10, I hadn't committed murder. I hadn't robbed a bank. I hadn't did any of these great atrocious crimes, but I knew that I was absolutely a sinner. But I am thankful for the word of God that told me that that's exactly who Christ died for. I know some of you remember Mr. Carl Payne. He used to like when he used to talk when he was 80. He wasn't born and he didn't grow up going to church, going to gospel meetings. But he said, I just understood that Christ died for bad people. I remember him saying that. And he said, I had no trouble understanding that I was a bad people. And he had just accepted it. So maybe you were here tonight and maybe you think, well, I'm not that bad. Or maybe you are here tonight. I don't know everybody that's here tonight. Don't know everybody really well. I know most of you, but there's some people I don't really know. I don't know what's in your history, but really, in matter of fact, it doesn't really matter. Every single one of us has sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have all been, as the old expression goes, we've all been tarred with the same stick. But you know what? The same Savior has died for every one of us. Marcus read, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Go to the next chapter of that same book. What did he say? Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And as the Lord Jesus came in, we have read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For how, as Paul writes, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Go back to our story in Exodus. That lamb, as they viewed it, it was to be a particular special lamb that was not to have blemishes. It couldn't have a broken leg. It couldn't. There was a list of things that were that were given with that lamb, and as they observed it, you know, our Lord Jesus lived here for 33 years, but in particular for 3 years, they watched him. They tried to take him in his words. They tried to trip him up, and they tried to condemn him to and tried to peg him with saying the wrong things or doing the wrong things. But even Pilate, the one that was to decide whether to crucify him or not, he said, "I find no fault in this man." And he actually took water and washed his hands, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person." But he was delivered up to be crucified. And he was taken. And he was crucified. He was nailed by his hands and his feet to a cross. And he suffered, and he died, and he made a payment for your sins and my sins. Bennett read concerning some of the events that happened, and we can even read about another miracle that happened as this scene was closed in darkness, and really God took up a dealing with the sacrifice. And he felt the weight of your sins and my sins. Brother Donald, this morning as he was here, he read about that passage in John 19 and 30. Jesus said, "I thirst," and they gave him vinegar to drink, and then he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." You know, we often, and Donald this morning mentioned, sometimes we do something and we're pretty proud of it. We went to work and did something, accomplished a task, and it looks pretty good to us, but each one of us, everything that we do is never 100% perfect. But the work that the Lord Jesus did upon the cross was absolutely 100% accurately perfect. And God is simply offering you his son. Just as Moses told those people to take that lamb, to watch it, on the 14th day, take it, kill it, collect its blood, put the blood on the two side posts, and the door over and the bar over top. And the promise of God was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So what will determine whether you are saved or lost tonight is what you have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, and what is also very important that we have read, the fact that he was raised again according to the scriptures. Tonight we are not presenting to you somebody that died as a martyr and his body went to corruption. On the third day, he rose again, proving that God was absolutely satisfied with the work that was completed. So tonight I want to ask you as I close, what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? Marcus read the verse, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." It's the word of God, it's not our words. And I trust tonight that as we close, that if you have never had a time in your life when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, it's a real thing. You know, we're not calling you to the front, and we're not here to get you to say some sort of rhymes. It's an interaction between you and God. God's terms are ungodly sinner. But I love it. That's exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ died for. Accept him. Accept what he's done for you. The Bible says that you will be saved. And it's according to the scriptures. It's not according to us. As he said, as the promise was given, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when God says, when I see what the work of Christ applied to your life and applied to your heart, those sins will be forever gone. And God says, on the grounds of what Christ did, I can accept you into heaven to be with me forever. So tonight I trust that as we close, that you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We'll just take a minute to pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the gospel message, and admit so often we complicate it. The terms of the gospel are so simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we just pray if there's an honest, willing heart here tonight, understanding their need as a sinner, that they will just simply apart from any involvement of us, but just between them and God, they can understand that when the Lord Jesus gave his life upon the cross, it was enough to save every single person that was ever born into the world. So just pray to bless each one, take everyone home in safety, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.